From NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. The World Health Organization says more cases of cholera have developed in Pakistan, where as many as 20 million people have been affected by flooding. The United Nations General Assembly met yesterday to talk about ways of speeding up relief aid to Pakistan. The BBC's Mike Woldridge says the money can't come fast enough.
If, as is now being suggested, the UN's goal of securing nearly $460 million of funding for the first phase of the relief operation will be achieved, that will be seen as one positive development on the ground here in Pakistan. The government, the UN, and aid agencies alike have all said that while they have been able to reach more flood victims, a shortage of funding has prevented them delivering the volume of relief supplies that are needed. And in the province of Sindh and parts of Punjab, the waters continue to rise, meaning more people on the move and many without access to clean water and vital medical care in particular.
The BBC's Mike Woldridge in Islamabad, Pakistan. One donor is Pakistan's longtime rival, India. The donation is about $5 million. Pakistan's foreign minister says he's grateful. An Arizona prison fugitive and his fiancée have been arrested at a campground in eastern Arizona. Authorities have been hunting John McCluskey and Kaslyn Welch for nearly 3 weeks and warning people they are dangerous. The U.S. Marshal for Arizona, David Gonzalez, says when officers approached the couple, Kaslyn Welch pulled out a gun.
As she pulled it out, the SWAT officers obviously had her had their guns trained on her, and she dropped the weapon.
Welch allegedly helped McCluskey and two other prisoners escape a medium security facility in northern Arizona on July 30th. All have now been recaptured. The struggling economy has more American workers borrowing from their financial futures to make ends meet. NPR's Giles Snyder reports on findings from the nation's largest administrator of retirement savings accounts.
Boston-based Fidelity Investments says a number of American workers who had outstanding loans against their Fidelity 401k accounts in the second quarter reached 22%, a 10-year high. That's 2% more than a year earlier. Hardship withdrawals also peaked during the period. Fidelity says 62,000 workers participating in its plans initiated a hardship withdrawal in the second quarter, compared with 45,000 a year ago. Fidelity says loans and withdrawals were highest among workers who are in their peak earnings years between 35 and 55 years old. Fidelity's quarterly survey is closely watched. The company runs retirement plans for some 11 million workers. Giles Snyder, NPR News, Washington.
In Asian trading today, most markets fell. Japan's Nikkei index dropped 1.2%. The South Korean market was off 0.5%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong lost 0.8%. You're listening to NPR. NATO says it found suspected insurgents in an Afghan province today, including a Taliban leader who has since been detained. He is thought to have coordinated bombing and machine gun attacks against NATO troops. A spokesman for NATO in Afghanistan says the insurgents were captured in a village and NATO did not fire any weapons in that operation. South African President Jacob Zuma is threatening to fire public employees who are on their third day of a national strike. Vicky O'Hara reports from Johannesburg. The strike has seriously disrupted emergency medical care.
Paramedics transporting patients report being turned away from hospitals in at least three provinces. In some cases, they said, striking hospital workers blocked entrances. In others, there was no staff available to admit the patients, including a man with a severed hand. Hospitals report several premature infants have died for lack of care. Military medical personnel and guards had been deployed to hospitals to handle emergencies. The strike also has paralyzed the courts and shut down schools in the middle of the South African school year. The government warns unions they have 21 days to accept what is described as a final contract offer. If they fail to do so, the government says it will unilaterally implement the contract. For NPR News, I'm Vicky O'Hara in Johannesburg.
The polls open in a few hours. In Australia, voters are being asked to choose members of a new national government. Current Prime Minister Julia Gillard got the job just 5 weeks ago. She ousted the head of the Australian Labor Party, Kevin Rudd. She had served as his deputy. Gillard's closest challenger is believed to be the Conservative Party. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News in Washington.